Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
34 years ago this week, May 1st, 1990 to be exact, we gathered together about 3 miles south of here, right on 441, in what had been a snapper lawnmower shop. And we gathered in half that building. It was about the size of maybe less than the platform for everything at the time. And we were gathering together, just trusting God, believing Him, and just had raw faith. We didn't know the odds were against us. We didn't know what was true then is still true now, and that is that 90% of church plants fail within the first 3 years. 90%. Thank God nobody told us. We are so excited to be with you today. And in a few moments, I'm going to present our special guest speaker, a dear friend and a spiritual relationship that we have in the Lord. Before that, we always like to give gifts for Heart for the House. For our anniversary, we want to bless you. So ushers, would you come right now? Everybody has a little screen. We all need screen cleaners. So we have Now Church little screen cleaners so you don't get wiped out. We have screen cleaner cloths for you to carry around, little handy dandy. Everybody needs these. It'll be a great conversation piece when you pull it out. It's going to be wonderful for you to share. Somebody says, well, what's that? Well, you know, that's my church. That's where I go. That's where I'm a part of God's family and connect us. So we have a little gift for you and hope that you'll enjoy that and make good use of that. I think everybody can use those things. So anyway, we want to say happy anniversary to you. It is a joy. 34 years ago, listen to this. I was figuring on the way in, the Lord quickened to me. We've had exactly 1,776 Sundays. 1776, it's 4th of July and anniversary. Anyway, 1,776 Sundays as a church. Can you imagine that? And then, you know, when my wife and I came, we were 29 years old. We had just turned 29, and we were, you know, our kids were 9 and 6, right? I think, yeah, 9 and 6. And they're now older than that. And you can do the math later. But anyway, it's just crazy to think about. We gathered the first night, and exactly 70 people came together to hear the vision the first night. Exactly 70, which we felt was kind of prophetic out of Luke chapter 10. He sent 70 others also. So it was like this, it was just this amazing 70 number. Within a few weeks, I preached it all the way up to about 35. And our third Sunday, we had a famous guest speaker come in. And we packed out the place so much with over 200 people the third Sunday that we blew the air conditioning unit. It was seriously crazy. And the Blackmans came that Sunday, and a few others came that Sunday and have been with us ever since. What a huge blessing this is, and to God be the glory. Our whole goal all this time has just been to make a difference. And hopefully we've made a difference in your life. Hopefully we've made a difference in this community and in the many nations that God has entrusted to us to be a part of. What a huge blessing. Now as we move forward, I'm going to give it up for our special guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about him. First of all, let me introduce two of his four children are with him today. And they are, would you guys stand up? These are my friends Eli and Emery. These are twins, whether you can rest or not. Like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger twins. Sorry, that Emery, you're not Danny DeVito, but anyway. She said, thanks. Anyway, that's they're twins. They just turned 19 last week, and I've known them since they were just little guys. Pastor Matt Erickson's wife, Carrie, couldn't be here today, but she's been here to speak for you before. She was one of our Bible school students when we had Impact Bible School here from 93 to 2001. Carrie came, Pastor Carrie, came from Illinois as a 19-year-old, and came walking through those doors to come to our Bible school from Illinois. A friend of hers was coming to our school. And that first night, we were in a prayer meeting. It was a Friday night, and her life was changed. And years later, she called us up, said, "I'm married now, have a bunch of kids, and we're in ministry." We didn't even know that until about, 10, 12 years ago. And God reconnected us, and they asked us to be a part of them planting a church back where Pastor Matt is from in Lincoln, Nebraska. So 10 years ago now, they left to go start interest meetings and just do a beginning. And they just had their 9th anniversary a few weeks ago. And this church in Lincoln, Nebraska, Mercy City Church, is one of the best churches. It's certainly the best church in Nebraska. It may be one of the best churches in the United States and emerging. We're so proud of them and so thankful. They are spiritual. I hope you don't mind me saying it, but you've said it about me when you introduced me. But these are our kids. These are a spiritual son and daughter to us. And we're so very proud of them. I'd like you to get up on your feet and give a great Now Church welcome for those of you at home too to Pastor Matt Erickson as he comes.
Come on, everybody. Will you stay on your feet? Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. He's worthy of it, isn't he? Come on, come on, come on. Praise you, Jesus. Now turn around and give somebody a high five and let them know I'm glad you're here this morning. Once you've done that, you can find your seat. You can take your seat. What an honor to be here. What an honor to be here with you this morning, obviously, to celebrate 34 years of ministry, 34 years of faithfulness, 34 years of making a difference. And, so Pastor Richard was real nice in the introduction about me and all the stuff which warms my heart and makes me really grateful. But the reality is this. We are 9.5 years into our church plant. But if it weren't for the voices of Pastors Richard and Gail in our world, I can promise you, not only would we not be 9.5 years in, I don't know that our marriage would have survived. So my twins that we just celebrated, I don't know that their dad would be around. That's just the reality of the situation that we were in. And there was so much healing in the relationship that God brought to us, spiritually, but also naturally. And so I know that you love your pastors, but we love our pastors as well. And so you guys have made a difference, and it's not just in Ocala. It is in many nations, and one of those nations is Nebraska. This morning, we'll gather in two locations. About 1,600 people will be together, and that is your legacy as well. And I want you to know that. I'm not a numbers guy. I don't throw out numbers flippantly. I don't normally talk about numbers. But I want you to know that, because if it weren't for you, that wouldn't be the case. And so I honor you. We honor you. We love you so much. Come on, can we give it up for our pastors? Every year of the life of our church, they've come and invested in our leaders and in our church. They came, Pastor Richard, for the first couple of years, he said, "I'm not going to allow you to give me an honorarium or pay for anything. Now Church is going to cover it." And so thank you, Now Church, for investing in a young church planter family and church plant in Nebraska, a land far, far away. Honored. So you met two of my kids. I think we might have a picture of the rest of my family. No, that's all right. I promise they're real. I really am married. My wife is pretty. You can connect with me on social media. I post all about my wife all the time. Oh, no. Okay. My fault. My wife is pretty. You definitely got to see the most handsome son I have. And my favorite girl twin is here also. So we've got two more kids. Cooper is 20. He'll be 21 this year and actually going to get married in August. And so we're going to get a daughter, another daughter as well. And then our youngest is in eighth grade. Her name's Lila Jane. She's 14 and just absolutely my favorite child of all four of them. She's great, man. She's great. Well, hey, for the sake of, let's bring Jesus back so that we can salvage the service. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity we have this morning to be in your presence. We don't take it lightly, God. It's a big deal. And so we pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would show us the person of Jesus, because we know it's upon revelation of who Jesus is that you'll build and establish your church. Father, not a building, not a location, not an organization, but a people. And so, God, I pray today that as you are here in our midst, you would build us up. You would encourage us by the power of your Spirit that we might see Jesus more clearly today than we've ever seen him before. God, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, everybody, say amen. Amen. Good. Now, something you need to know about me, and I've taught my church this since the very, very early days, because in Lincoln, church culture is kind of quiet. You know what I mean? And so I don't really do quiet church well. And so we taught them to holler back. We say at Mercy City, we are a holler back church. And I'll say, hey, at Mercy City, we are a, and everybody say, holler back church. Can we try that on the count of three? All right, everybody. Hey, at Now Church this morning, we are a
holler back church.
Oh, Jesus. I almost felt like it was in church. Well, you know, we say things to interact with God's word like amen,
amen.
Like preach, preacher,
preacher,
like ride that donkey. Mercy City's personal favorite, get it, white boy. Yeah. So we have a lot of young people at Mercy City too. And so we started saying bussin' respectfully. You got to say bussin' respectfully because we're at church, you know what I mean? And so any of those that comes to your mind or, you know, just wells up in your heart this morning, feel free to say, and we don't say that because I need you to say that. We say that because we learn and we want to become people who interact with God's word. And you cannot be changed by God's word until you take ownership of it. And you can't take ownership of something you don't interact with. And so we got to interact with God's word. Amen. 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 Have you ever set out to do something, accomplish something, and it just didn't turn out the way that you thought that it would? Anybody? Okay, I got a couple of witnesses up in her. Yeah. That happened to me one time. More than one time, but this time was pretty significant. My wife and I were early married. You know, we had been married for maybe, you know, 6, 8, 10 months, long enough to know that she couldn't cook. And she calls me up. She calls me up at work one day, and she says, Matt, I'm going to cook dinner tonight. And I thought to myself, you are. Praise the Lord. But I did think, you know, hey, that'll be good because we're going to attend a basketball game of one of the teenagers in our youth ministry. And so we won't have to eat at the concession stand and we won't have to hit a drive-through on the way home, you know, so it'll be good. And so we meet up at the basketball game because she's coming from work or she was coming from home. She got off earlier than I did. And we met up at the basketball game and I said, you know, how your tummy starts to rumble a little bit like anybody ever had the tummy, like the good tummy rumbles, not the bad tummy rumbles. You know, some tummy rumbles let you know you're going to be occupied for a little while. Sorry, Pastor Richard. But the kind of tummy rumbles that let you know, hey, I'm hungry, right? But then, you know, you're hungry, but then you get hungry, like hungry. You know what I'm talking about? And by the time we left that game, because I was getting hungry, she reminded me, hey, I've got dinner at home. I was hungry. So we're on the way home and we walk in and man, it smelled fantastic. I was like, ooh, girl, you might have just done this right. You might have done this right. And so here we are, and I'm putting my stuff down, and she's going over to the stove, and she pulls back the lid. She was making some vegetable beef soup. Whew, it smelled good, boy. I was so hungry. I was hungry. And she pulled the lid back, and I was like, and she said, and I knew immediately something was wrong. Something was wrong. It was real wrong. She said, "Matt, I ruined the soup." Not much to my surprise. I walked over to the pot and I realized, yeah, girl, you ruined the soup, all right. She was stirring the soup and the soup was all stuck together, burnt together, stirring the soup. And I said, "Babe, what happened?" She said, "I knew that it was supposed to simmer, so I left it to simmer on the open flame while we went to a basketball game." Listen, not only should they have taken our marriage license and certificate, they should have taken any opportunity we had to live anywhere at that point. She did not know that you couldn't leave an open flame unattended while we went to a basketball game. And I tell that story like I knew at the time, but I didn't know either. I just happened to be the one with the mic. So the soup was all stuck together, and it was nasty. Somebody said nasty. You know, I was thinking about that, though, as I prepped for this message specifically. And it's a lot like our Christian lives when it comes to giving. Because God brings us to a house, he brings us to a place, and he deposits all kind of goodness on the inside of us. He brings the fresh veggies, he brings the beef, he brings all of the good stuff, the fruits of the Spirit, if you will. But what we do is we leave that giftedness on the open flame, the fire of God, and then we walk away, leaving it unattended each and every week. We don't stir the pot. And the way that we stir the pot is by stirring the giftedness of God in our hearts. It's not just waiting on a good word on Sunday. It's not just waiting on somebody to go live on Instagram or on social media so that we can be filled. It's us stirring the giftedness that's on the inside of us. Well, in fact, I think that when it comes to giving, it's a lot of the same thing. Matter of fact, I think that giving is part of what aligns our lives to the Word of God that causes a stirring of the pot or our heart, if you will. See, I think there are a lot of Christians. I'm sure there are none at Now Church, but I think there are a lot of Christians in the world today that have seen, experienced, tasted, smelled, touched the goodness of God. But we've also consistently walked away from the open flame, left it unattended, and haven't stirred the things of God on the inside of us. And I love that the Apostle Paul addresses this with a particular church when it comes specifically to giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says this, Paul addressing the Corinthian church. He says, "I really don't need to write to you about the ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred many up." Somebody say, "Stir it up."
Stir up.
Somebody say, "Stir it up."
Stir up.
Look at your neighbor and say, "Stir it up." Look at your other neighbor, the one that you trust a little bit less than the last person, and saying, "You might need to stir it up." "It was your enthusiasm," the Bible says, "that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin their giving." So here's what we have to realize as we look at this scripture and begin to dig into the scripture is that there was a difference between the ministry of giving to the believers in Jerusalem, and the Macedonian believers beginning to give. There was a difference. The ministry of giving to the believers in Jerusalem was considered an offering. It was considered above and beyond. There was already a level of faithfulness that was taking place in the Corinthian church. There was a level of abundance in the Corinthian church that caused them to come together and say, you know what? We want to bring more so that we can make happen for the least of these, so that we can push forward the vision or the mission of what's taking place. That was what the ministry of giving to believers signified. The Macedonian believers beginning to give was something different entirely. It was the beginning of what was considered a tithe, or the faithfulness of bringing the first fruits of their increase, which you got to understand culturally was a big deal, because the Macedonian church was very poor. They were honestly considered to be among the least of these. So their excuse and their reasoning for not being faithful in the tithe was, well, we don't have to give. If we had it, we would give it. You ever heard anybody say something like that? If I had it, I would give it. Well, let's be honest, everybody. If you did have it, you wouldn't give it, because when you don't have it, you don't give it. You won't when you do. I know that we try to bamboozle ourselves and we try to think, well, when I have it, I'll give. Remember those early days when Pastor Richard said, hey, I don't want you giving anything. I knew that we could not afford not to give. So we didn't cover the whole trip, but we paid something. We honored him somewhat in a way that we could. I knew we needed to start somewhere. And that's what the Macedonians realized. But isn't it awesome? Did you see it in the scripture? The thing that stirred the Macedonians, those who didn't have, to place a faithfulness was the faith, the over-the-top giving, the over-and-above generosity of the Corinthian church. See, what you don't realize now, church, is that you are much like the Corinthians to a church called Mercy City. We didn't have it, but because you gave it, you stirred faith on the inside of us. So we came somewhere, we went somewhere that we otherwise couldn't have gone if you hadn't stirred our faith. I just think that's so good. It was the over and above commitment to the offering. Not just the tithe, but the offering, like a heart for the house, that the Corinthians committed to, that stirred the generosity, the faithfulness of the Macedonians, or those that were young in their faith. So here Paul is commending the generosity of the Corinthian church, and he goes on to say, verse 3, this is so interesting to me. But, Paul says, I'm sending these brothers to be sure that you're really ready. Do what? As I've been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We'd be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some of these Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready to give the way that I told them you were. Let's be honest, everybody, that'd be a bad day, right? That would be a bad day. Taking some of these Macedonians whose faith has been stirred because of what took place on the Corinthians watch, and then they show up to receive this offering to take back to Jerusalem to forward the mission of the kingdom, and the Corinthians are like, nah, well, we ain't ready. So do what? Corinthians, your faith has stirred the faith of the Macedonians in such a way that they're starting to give right now. But I'm going to send some of these guys ahead just to make sure that you're ready. We want to make sure that you're not taking all the ingredients in the pot and forgetting to stir it up. We want to make sure that you're remaining faithful. We want to make sure that you're remaining in the place that you're called to be. We want to make sure that you aren't all bound up. Hello. But doesn't this happen to all of us from time to time? It happens to the best of us, doesn't it? Bills hit, life happens, You know, we got things like recessions. We got things like, pandemics. Y'all ever heard anything like that? It's crazy. We got election cycles. People go crazy. Like all kinds of stuff. And what happens is the world tries to push fear. And we get caught up. We get stuck. We get bound up in places of fear, not moving forward. And staying faithful, we leave the pot on the flame at church. But when we go to work on Monday morning, we almost forget it's even there. It's my responsibility to take that pot and keep care of it. And I'm going to stir my part. See, here's the reality of our lives. It's easy for some of us to forget to stir the pot because we don't live our lives on stages, all of us. It's easy for us, some of us to lose our way or forget about faithfulness or to not recognize the giftedness of God because, unlike the Corinthian church, our story is probably not going to be published in a book that is going to be pushed forward for faith for generations to come. We get to fly under the radar a little bit. But does that make us less accountable? I don't think so. So let me ask you this. What is the story of your faithfulness to God? Your tithe. What is the story of your generosity in the kingdom? Tell. What does it tell your unsaved loved ones? What does your story tell your children? Well, you know, faith things are kind of private. Not at my house. Not at my house. My responsibility to trumpet and champion the things of God from one generation to the next. That's my responsibility. My kids know the amount that we give every week. My kids know the amount that we sow for our heart for the house every year. In fact, they're a part of it because I don't want them to miss the blessing. I don't want them to miss the blessing. The first time I remember we gave at Heart for the House, and my kids' eyes were like, we're giving that much money? And it was an awesome opportunity for me to sit down and tell the story of how generous and faithful God had been in our world. It was an awesome opportunity for me to share of the goodness of God. It was an awesome opportunity. Remember, our oldest was 6. The twins were 4. They're like, whoa. And now they're given those amounts on their own. What is your story of generosity? What is your generosity story communicating to those who are coming behind you or are surrounding you? Paul's wanting the Corinthian church to remember what started the stirring in them, so that they could be prepped to be an inspiration for generations to come. I'm here to tell you today, God is wanting to remind you of what started the stirring in you. You've been an inspiration, but I believe that God's calling you to continue to be an inspiration. Paul wanted to remind them, and I think God wanted to remind us about that inspiration. Some might even call it a legacy he wanted them to be thinking about. Y'all ever heard that term before? Legacy? You have? Weird. Your pastors are the most generationally minded people I've ever been around. And there is such a blessing on our lives because of it. And I say our because they're my pastors too. Is that okay? We just adopted them in Lincoln. Let's read some more of the Bible. I don't want everybody being upset with me. Verse 5 says this. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised was ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. This is the funniest verse in all the Bible to me. Because we will quote the heck out of the latter part. We will quote the heck out of, well, God doesn't want us to give grudgingly, brother, so I'm not going to give today. We never talk, ever. We trash churches online about giving. Well, you should only give willingly. You should not give grudgingly. Did you ever stop to actually read verse 5 in its entirety? This is hilarious. So I thought I should send these guys ahead to make sure that the gift you promised was ready. And I want it to be a willing gift, not, you know, one done grudgingly. What? Paul's hilarious. He's absolutely hilarious. Can you imagine? We made these Heart for the House commitments. Pastor Richard sending out text last night. Hey, don't forget the gift you promised. No, he'd be in the newspaper. He'd go viral. Can you believe Pastor reached out and said not to forget about the gift that I promised? Can you imagine? This is the funniest verse in the Bible. Here's what's going on, though. If you read between the lines, you understand that there's a rift in relationship. Because Paul was the apostle, he was still the head of that church. And there were some things going on within the life of the Corinthian church that was not Christ-like and it wasn't godly. And so he was having to bring correction and direction and redirection. And so some of the Corinthian church had gotten their noses bent out of shape. And they're like, I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. Did you know that when you stand in opposition of the people that God places in your life, you're actually standing in opposition of God and what he's doing in your life. And I know nobody here at Now Church is doing that. But if you ever find somebody, you ever meet somebody that does that, you might want to just tell them. To the point where Paul had to remind them, hey, this is bigger than personal issues. This is not for personal gain. How many of y'all know that if Paul wanted to gain personally, he wouldn't have received a public offering? y'all hear what I'm saying? Like, to receive a Heart for the House offering, let me just tell you, as a pastor, all you think of is all the scandals. All you think of is all the accusations. All you think of is all the stuff that the world could potentially come at you with. There's nothing in it personally for somebody who's genuinely receiving an offering to advance the kingdom. We've got nothing to gain because we're just going to advance the kingdom. In fact, it would be better for us not to receive anything above and beyond. It would be better for us not to go further. It would be better for us not to, but here's the reality. What that does is it robs God's people of aligning to his faithfulness and word over their lives. And I stand in a position, and I know your pastors do too, I don't care what it looks like on me, I would never rob God's people of an opportunity to align to his word. I just won't do it. Because this impacts your family, it impacts your generations to come. Let's keep reading the Bible. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And when you do, don't do it reluctantly or in response to pressure. Do it according to something that is stirring on the inside of you. I never give because I feel pressure. I'll only give when I sense vision and God stirring something on the inside of me. I'm not going to run away from the heat. I'm going to stay on the heat because I know that when I'm on the heat, when I'm in the fire, the presence of God, and I stir the giftedness that's on the inside of me, then God can do something significant with it. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. Somebody say, that's a good day. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. This is the part that I want to lock in here for just a minute. their good deeds will be remembered forever. Forever! See, here's the reality of giving situation culturally. We see how it's going to affect our bottom line this week, our bottom line this month, our bottom line this year. And we make determinations based on this year, this week, this day, this month, rather than on eternity. See, God says when you do it, it will impact and affect your eternity. Not just this week, not just this month, not just this year. We have the opportunity to affect eternity forever. That's a good day. So you might give $50, you might give $500, you might give $5,000, you might give $50,000. And you're like, oh, it's going to affect today. Oh, it might affect today. But you know what it's going to impact? It's going to impact eternity. You might have to say no to something today. But everything you say no to today, based on a word from God, you're saying yes to in eternity. I've just seen it over the years. I've seen it over the years. So here's the question we're going to have answered. We're going to have to identify on the inside of us. What stirs me? What stirs me? And I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. What stirs you? Now, you might identify it in the natural, but there's something spiritual there to it. I had a mentor years ago that he taught us how to identify what stirs you. What is the thing in you that makes you glad? What brings a smile to your face? What makes you mad? What causes your brow to furrow? What makes you sad? The things that make you glad, the things that make you mad, the things that make you sad, those are the things that most likely God is using to stir you. Because when you see that consistently, you know that God's behind it. I'm not talking about a one-off. I'm ticked off about that. That God, cut me off in traffic. I'm talking about the thing that ticks you off consistently. I'm talking about the thing that makes you sad consistently. The thing that brings a smile to your face consistently. That's the thing that I'm talking about. That's where you can see God is stirring you. And that's what you want to attach your seed to. As you give today, it's not just flippantly give. I want to give with my seed attached to something that God is stirring in my heart. So what is it that's stirring your heart? See, the thing that's stirring my heart right now is a statistic that I saw several weeks ago. Now, Barna released some new research, and they said that 4% of Gen Z is religiously affiliated. Not Christian affiliate, religiously at large affiliate. 4%! And I know that some people would get super passionate about Gen Z. And of course I'm passionate about Gen Z. They're people too. But you know what it made me passionate about? Gen Y, Gen X, the boomers. Where the heck are they? Where are the fathers? Where are the mothers? Where are the voices that are supposed to be crying in the wilderness, bringing hope and life to this generation? Why do we have a generation that's raising themselves on their devices? Because we're so caught up in the here and now that we have no long-term vision. 4% doesn't speak to the lost cause that Gen Z is. 4% speaks to the fathers and the mothers who are supposed to step up, who are supposed to be voices. That's my passion place right now. That's my passion place right now. And God gave me a word in January. And he said, you're going to reach X number of college students. And I knew that it wasn't college students that I was sowing toward. But he told me, I want you to give $1 personally for every college student that I spoke to you about. And so I looked at my wife. And I told her. And it was 4 times the amount we've ever given anything personally at one time. But it stirs me. And it's not for the college students, because I'm not going to reach the college students. We got a team that's going to do that. I'm going to reach the fathers. I'm going to reach the mothers. I'm going to reach the business leaders. I'm going to reach the grandparents that are supposed to be voice in raising and training and bringing up. See, what we've done, Gen X, Gen Y, Boomer, what we've done is we provided every opportunity naturally for our kids. But we've been reluctant and we've denied the power of God and not sown into their, oh, I paid for every weekend of travel ball you can imagine. If my kid wanted to do it, I made it possible. Why? Because I didn't have the opportunity to. And so I sowed into their here and now, but did I sow effectively into their future? That's a question I have to wrestle with. Where are the fathers? That's what's stirring my heart. So here's my question, what's stirring your heart? See, you should have received one of these Heart for the House cards. You should have received one of these envelopes. And on this card, you should have filled out things you're believing for. But I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Would you add to it what's stirring you right now? What is stirring you right now? What are you attaching your seed to right now? Some of us came today with a plan to give. Maybe what's comfortable. Maybe what seemed right. And I'm not here to play the voice of God in your life. That's not my heart. I hope you can sense that. But here's what I know. I know that nobody has played a greater role in advancing the kingdom in my world than our pastors. And I can tell you confidently that everything that is brought to this altar, everything that is given, everything that is sown will go for the advancement of the kingdom. I wonder if some of you older believers, you Corinthians, would sow a seed in a way that would speak to some of these younger people and stir the faith in some of the Macedonians today. If you haven't received a card, I think the ushers are making them available, or you should have them. If you wouldn't mind, would you just pull this out? PL is going to prophesy over us as he does. But as he does, I wonder if you just ask the Lord, what are you stirring in me, God? And what kind of seed do you want me to attach to it? If you don't have a card, just slip your hand up. The ushers will make them available. Maybe you need another card to write some new stuff on. Bring them all. I know the pastoral staff here is going to make these available for the next month, praying over them, coming to agreement with you. How God's stirring you. I know this morning I was standing over here worshiping. I would never come to a Heart for the House, and this is just me. I would never come to a Heart for the House celebration. I mean, I'm so honored to be here to speak, but I just had no plans to come and not to sow something. And as I was standing here, I just felt like the Lord said, double it. And that's me. That's me. That's not you. What's the Lord saying to you? I'd like to pray over you as we consider these cards. And then I'll give you a next step. Father, thank you for the way that you're speaking. Thank you for the way that you're stirring. God, I pray that this would not be a day of guilt or manipulation, but it would be a day of faith. This would be a day of stirring. This would be a day of alignment to your word, your will, and your way. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you do on behalf of every single family what only you can do. Doing in us, God, doing through us, God, what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand on your feet this morning? So here's what we're going to do as we close. There's going to be a basket available that you'll be able to, with your family, come and place your offering envelope in. But just along the edge of the stage, am I doing this backwards? I'm doing it backwards. The cards go in the basket.
Yes.
The envelopes go on the stage. I'm new here, everybody. I'm new. But we want to pray over your cards. So you put the envelopes in the basket, cards in the basket, envelopes on the stage. And as soon as you feel stirred and God moving you, go ahead and respond in Jesus' name.
I see it coming back to life. Yeah. Oh, gonna see it rise up. Yeah. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Dreams come back to life. Families come back to life. Bodies in the name of Jesus. I see it coming back to life. Coming back to life. Coming back to life. So Holy Spirit, come revive. Holy Spirit, come breathe life. Holy Spirit, come whatever you want. Holy Spirit, I'm your way. Holy Spirit, come revive. Holy Spirit, come breathe life. Holy Spirit, come whatever you want. Holy Spirit, I'm your. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, come revive. Holy Spirit, come breathe life. Holy Spirit, whatever you want, Holy Spirit, have your way.
Come on, everybody, if you gave today, even if you didn't, would you stand on your feet and let's prophesy into the atmosphere over this offering. Father, I thank you for every family under the sound of my voice, those joining online as well. God, I declare in the name of Jesus that this seed sown would not be sown in vain. Father, that it would go toward the advancement of the kingdom of heaven and that people would be able to see the fruitfulness that comes from the seed that they've sown. Not only would they see it in their lives personally, but they would see it in the life of this church and beyond. God, that they would know and understand that this seed goes far beyond anything they can see. That these seeds will be sown, and they're sown on purpose according to your word in the kingdom. That will bring fruitfulness forever. Not in this moment, not just right here and now, but forever. God, help us see in the spirit and remind us of this seed specifically in the months and the years to come. Father, I thank you that we would not be flippant sowers today, but we would keep inventory and track of the seed sown, and that you, by faith in your spirit, would help us inventory all the fruit that comes as you advance your kingdom through our faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Give it up for Pastor Matt Erickson. What a great message. Great message. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We'll let you go in just a second, but I just want to tell you, my wife and I were just talking the other day. This time last year, some of you are newer, you don't know. This time last year, we had found mold in our house, and we were out of our home for 4 months during Heart for the House. I had sprained my knee and was in constant pain for 3 months. We were building the building and everything was stuck and going slow. And we brought our prayer request with all those things and more and presented them before the Lord and released our best seed. And I'm here to tell you, a year later, God has met every need. He has provided everything. My knee is healed. My eye is healed. I went through an eye thing. I'm healed. What God has done. Listen, this is about trusting God and releasing what you have in your hand to find what is in God's hand. And a lot of times we hear these kind of things. This was a powerful word. If you'll receive it that way, this can be a key to breakthrough. As your pastor, I'll tell you this. We have been so impressed over the last, we've been doing this for 15, no, probably longer, 15, 16, 17 years, every year. We never get frivolous prayer requests. Yeah. When we pray over these, the pastors are deeply moved and touched by every one of them. But the maturity and what people are asking for, I don't know what's this year, but I'm telling you, every year,
yeah,
it's been like the heart's cry, hasn't it, Pastor Lindsay?
Yeah, so
it's been like a heart cry in people,
yeah,
for real and legitimate spiritual breakthrough, things that only God can do. And we're so excited because God will meet you at your point of faith. God is not moved by need alone. He's moved with compassion by need. He's moved into action by faith. Don't ever lose that. Let's trust Him. Let's believe Him. Pastor Chris, you have a couple announcements before we dismiss everybody. Thank you for your giving. We're going to be praying over these. Ushers, you can come get these envelopes. Give up one more shout to God for 34 years of His faithfulness.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.